Sigmund Freud famously mused on a timeless question, what do women want? In the past, retailers assumed they nearly wanted to make a widget pink and that the man of the house made decisions on most big-ticket items. Now more and more, though, businesses realize what women want are power tools, dishwashers, digital cameras, automobiles, and houses. If retailers overlook women, they risk missing the critical decision maker. In 80% of homes, it is women who make the household purchases. If there's a big screen TV in the house, for example, chances are that the purchase has been researched, poked, and prodded by the woman in the house, even if there is a big lug parked on the couch in front of it. More and more retailers are catering to the way women shop and changing the way they think about marketing to appeal to the major purchasing power of women. Later in the hour, The Motley Fool joins us for our regular segment on financial investments. If you have questions on strategies, tactics, what to buy or sell, give us an email now. The address is talk@npr.org. But first, who makes the decisions on big-ticket items in your household? And based on the track record, who should? Join the conversation. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. The email address is talk@npr.org. Marty Barletta is CEO of the consulting firm The Trendsight Group and author of the book Marketing to Women. And she's with us today from the studios of Northwestern University in Evanston, Illinois. Nice to have you with us.
It's a pleasure, Neil.
That 80% of women make household purchases, where does that number come from?
Do you know what? That is a number that has been kind of cobbled together. It's conventional wisdom at this point, but it's because it's cobbled together from the learnings from a lot of different categories. Some of the packaged goods people, and then you look at the big ticket industries. Women make far more, for example, in the grocery category, women make 92% of decisions. They buy 65% of new cars. They buy 55% of consumer electronics. And so when you cobble that together and sort of account for the different sizes of the industries, you come up with a number that's about 80%, which everybody in the industry uses, but nobody has a particular single source for it.
But if it's conventional wisdom, how come it's taking so long for retailers to come around to acting on it?
Well, that's a really good question. I think it was because only in the last 5 years or so have companies, manufacturers, and retailers realized that women are making most of the big-ticket decisions as well as the smaller decisions. I started my firm about 7 years ago, and at that time, whenever I did a speech or presentation, I usually had to spend about 15 minutes explaining that women actually did have money. And these days, people often start their interviews with me by saying, well, Marty, everybody knows women buy everything, so what's the big deal? Well, maybe everybody knows it now. That hasn't been my experience in talking with a lot of companies in industries like financial services, automobile, the one that's the most shocking, perhaps, is the media companies, the networks and the TV networks and the magazines and things like that, who are still trying to reach, according to all the marketing articles you'll ever read, that quote, highly elusive target of men 18 to 34. And that always makes me chuckle, I have to tell you, because except for beer and pizza, those guys just don't buy very much. So, and yet, they are the most prized target audience, and everybody's very worried that they're not watching TV anymore because they're playing video games instead.
Now, to some degree, I assume this has to do with sexual politics. To some degree, I suspect it has to do with women's salaries, too.
It has an enormous amount to do with women's salaries. These days, women are bringing home 55% of the household income in 55% of U.S. households. And that's a startling number to people. I think most of the time, what people read about women's earning power is what I call the poor story of the women's market. For some reason, there seems to be an excess, in my opinion, of coverage of some of the statistics that are the poor story. For example, probably at least once a year, you see a flurry of articles on women, on average, earn 76 cents on the dollar compared to their male counterparts, which sounds like women maybe don't have very much money. But on the flip side of that is the fact that women do bring in over half of the household income in 55% of households. And one big, huge chunk of that is the fact that over one out of four U.S. households is headed by a single woman. So, and 22% of homes are owned by single women compared to only 12% for single men. So there are lots of other And the prognosis is only upside, by the way, Neil, because women, for example, are bringing home the majority of law degrees from law schools these days, business degrees, the majority there, 46% of medical degrees. And when you look at bachelor's degrees, women are taking home 57% of those. And when you consider that, combined with the fact that, on average, a college graduate earns twice as much over his or her lifetime as a non-college graduate, you can see that women's earning power is only going to get stronger.
Let's get some listeners involved in the conversation. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. And we'll start with Natalie. Natalie with us from San Antonio in Texas.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep, you're on the air.
Okay, I just wanted to tell I'm sorry, I forgot her name.
Marty Barletta.
Marty, okay. Marty, in our household, when it comes to the cars we drive, the appliances we have, even the TVs, my husband is like, okay, I want to get a TV. What should we do? And I go do all the research, and then I tell him, okay, these are the options, this is what we have. And then I'm the one that ends up either writing the check, or I'll tell him, this is how much we can spend on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's like, okay, you know, because you use the stuff, and he knows that I'm going to go out and make sure we get the best deal with the most benefits, get the most values, and that's just how it works.
And Natalie, you put your finger on why women are taking over more and more of the big ticket buying, because women, when women make decisions on these big items differently, quite differently than men do. Men tend to be more, let's focus on the few most important things, and let's get all that other, you know, so-called detail stuff out of the way, because that just clouds up the decision. And so when a couple is considering buying something, spending a good chunk of money, usually they both have to agree that we're going to spend the money on it, but usually, if the man does the research, the woman doesn't feel that enough detail has been found out about the purchase for her to feel satisfied going forward with the buy. So women are taking over the research for all of these things because the men just don't do a good enough job, I guess you might say.
No, they don't. They really don't.
I'm not saying anything, Natalie. Thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Joe. Joe's with us from Phoenix, Arizona.
Yes, thank you. I think this is so so good a topic, but much more complex when you really think about it. My wife and I are both physicians. I'm a pediatrician. She's an obstetrician. There are times when we come to a standstill in terms of what we want to purchase or what we're able to purchase. And I mean, we're building a house now, for example. We had to decide if we want a basement or not, if we want this room or not. There are decisions that have to be made by a couple, or there's going to be no decision. And I think, my opinion is, that I make more money than she does, and I should be the one making the decision whether or not something should be purchased. Oftentimes, she's the one who wants to spend more on a particular thing, but I say, hey, we can't afford this. One of us has to decide, and since I make more money, I'm the one who gets to decide. Many things we agree upon, but when we can't, and you have to make a decision, I think the high wage earner should be the decider.
Well, Joe, I'm really glad to hear that, because in 30% of households, the woman is the high wage earner, especially in the most high income households, where, for example, in households where women earn over where the woman of the house earns over $100,000, in 70% of those households, she's the primary decision maker. But if I may offer a suggestion. You know, I would suggest you take advantage of the fact that she is probably interested in doing more research on most of these decisions than you are. Most men come to feel that, oh, you know, I've got the four things that are the most important to me. Let's just go forward. And the women are the ones who generally say, well, let's make sure this is not just a good TV, a good basement, but let's make sure we have the perfect answer here. So,
yeah, she's also more interested in spending more money than me.
Well, maybe she's looked into the resale value a little bit more. Who knows?
Joe,
thank you.
Thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go now to Carrie, and Carrie's also calling from San Antonio.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
The point I was wanting to make was I'm actually a stay-at-home mom, and to my own surprise, after going to school for many years, I've been at home with my children now for about 8 years, and I make all of the financial decisions in our household. I pay all of the bills. I buy all of the food. I make decisions about where we're going to go on vacation often. And my husband, of course, is involved in those decisions. But I would have to say, even though I'm not earning any money toward our household income, I'm pretty much spending it.
So you're the CFO of the financial of the family corporation, as it
were. So I guess so.
I've called that the CPO, the Chief Purchasing Officer, because it's not just the financial decisions that you're making, Carrie. It's also the buying decisions for the household.
Exactly.
It's pretty typical that women, for example, women do handle the checkbook in 83% of U.S. households. So very often they are the ones who are handling the checkbook. But as you mentioned earlier, a lot of times couples, you know, these are joint purchases, but somebody really needs to make sure that they're the right purchases. Mm-hmm. And very often the man is quite appreciative when a woman is willing to jump in and take on. You know, it's not easy. It's not easy trying to figure out which is the best refrigerator, the best car, the best mutual fund, the best insurance policy. It takes quite a bit of learning.
Right. It mm-hmm. takes time. And my husband is the one that's working full time and mm-hmm. and I'm not. And you know, it, again, to my surprise, I'm a stay-at-home mom now, and this is what I do. And it's a cliche, but I've heard people say, you know, my partner makes the living and I make the life worth living. So
I like that saying.
I do get to make a lot of the fun choices.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think it's quite a luxury, actually,
mm-hmm.
to do that. But, yeah, I'm spending the money in our family, so.
The other thing, if I might add to that, Carrie, is that you mentioned, for example, that you decide where to go on vacation. And that's a really good place to think about the fact that the buying process is not just the final choice. Because very often what happens is the woman of the household says, I looked into about 15 or 20 options. I think we should talk about either going to the Grand Canyon or New York City or Florida's Disney World. And so then together, the husband and wife make the decision. But what people forget is that when she brings forward the three options for them to discuss, she has eliminated 97 other options. And as far as marketers are concerned, that is a hugely important step in the buying process.
Carrie, thanks for the call and good luck with the checkbook. Hope everything balances out for you.
Thanks a lot.
We're talking about women's power in the marketplace. They're buying everything or making most of the decisions in buying everything from tools to cars to houses. We're taking your calls. 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. This is the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're talking today about women consumers. They're the ones with most of the purchasing power these days, and they're buying more and more of the big-ticket items. Our guest is Marty Barletta. She's the CEO and founder of the Trend Site Group and author of the marketing book What Women Want. Of course, you're welcome to join the conversation. Who makes the decisions on big-ticket items in your house? And based on the track record, who should? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. One of the fastest growing segments for women is the auto market. Jody DeVere is president of Ask Patty, a Sarasota-based website providing advice for female auto consumers. And she joins us today from the studios of member station KNPR in Las Vegas. Nice to have you on the program today.
Thanks for having me today.
So are women buying most of the cars and new cars and trucks?
Absolutely. New car purchases, more than 50%, and in some markets, up to 62% of all new vehicles are purchased by women today, about 48% of all used cars, and 40%, surprisingly, of trucks, new trucks.
And how has that changed over the past decade or so?
I think that basically women have always been involved in buying cars, and even 10 years ago were purchasing just under 50% of all cars bought, mm-hmm. new vehicles. However, I think the big difference is that women are beginning to understand their purchasing power. And as women have escalated into higher level jobs, paying jobs, and have moved into more executive positions, and also with the advent of the internet, have more information available on these kind of statistics, are really beginning to kind of come into their own in the automotive buying market and are demanding a better experience.
So in terms of that change, I guess Ask Patty is in response, a part of response to that change.
Absolutely. One of the things that women complain about, and many studies have been conducted, is that women don't feel respected when they go to car dealers to do business, either in the service area or in, at the sales area.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's sort of a general mistrust, and that may be with men as well. But I think women really need to feel
car
more
salesmen don't enjoy a sterling reputation for their – anyway, but –
No, and there have been some recent little segments on television that have sort of depicted that in a very negative way. And by the way, I want to say that there are some very fine new car dealers that do a good job with women. But back to your question, I think that women, because of past bad experiences, and you know, if a woman has a bad experience, she's going to tell 20 of her friends, or mm-hmm. going to tell 20 of her friends. And so we go to those environments expecting to have a bad experience. And often we'll take a man just so we get respect. So here's the number one thing women want. We want to be respected. We want to be treated like we're intelligent human beings when we go into that male-dominant atmosphere. And since the Internet provides so much information to research for a new car or a used car for that matter, we can be totally prepared when we enter the dealership. And so we, you know, expect with our you know, as Marty pointed out, women like to research.
Mm-hmm.
We dig down into the details. So when we approach the car dealer or salesperson, we don't want that comment when we get to the finance department, you know, you better bring your husband back with you.
Uh-huh, yes. But am I wrong? Most car ads that I see on TV seem to be aimed at men.
Absolutely. And you don't want to get me on that soapbox. the car manufacturers seem to have sort of this... and even the car websites, if you go look at them, are really speaking to the man market as if women don't buy cars, for one, or we don't enjoy our cars, and quite the contrary. And I can tell you, we have a lot of interaction on Ask Patty with women on a daily basis. Women are very passionate about their automobiles. We love our cars. In fact, a great quote that I like to tell is, one woman told me, "My car is like my purse. All my stuff is in it, and it's very meaningful to me. And the purse I pick is just as important as the car I pick to carry around all my valuables, my children, my groceries, my purchases." And
that suggests they're interested in maybe in different parts of different aspects of automobile vehicles than males who might be more interested in the need for speed.
Absolutely, studies show that women's number one when they go out to purchase a car or a truck. They are looking to, because they cart around the family in them, the safety issues of that car. And we direct women to great sites that provide the safety features as well as safety ratings for those vehicles. We get questioned a lot about how safe is this car? What is the rating? We also get questions that involve some of the luxury features that make the car more comfortable. I have had a lot of questions about how the difficulty of folding seats is very important for women. Things like that I am not sure that when men go out to purchase a car, that these are their number one questions.
Let's get a caller on the line, and this is Shane. Shane's with us from St. Augustine in Florida.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Good.
Well, I want to say, you know, in our household, it's always our money, never my money or her money, regardless of who makes the most. My wife is a part-time stay-at-home mom. She's a massage therapist, so she spends sometimes taking care of the kids and sometimes working. But the other thing I was mentioned was about motorcycling. A lot of motorcycle industries are starting to gear more motorcycling toward women because it's a growing market.
And do you have a motorcycle, Shane?
Oh, I do, and I had to get my wife's permission to buy it.
Did she pick
actually? You'll be interested to know that I ride a Harley.
Right. Well, and, you know, two wheels is two wheels, and I mean, it's just, you know, motorcycling is fun, and you see a lot of the magazines are really gearing it towards women, just riding gear, riding clubs, riding, you know, all women riding schools. But in our household, you know, it's never my money, regardless if I make more. The fact that she doesn't work and stays at home, she keeps us from spending money, so that's like earned money.
That's a way to think of it, Shane. That's an interesting...
Well, actually, yeah, she saves us from spending money, and that's making money. So less going out means more staying in, and it's an equal field. Regardless of who makes more, it's, you know, it takes two people or more to raise a family.
Shane, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, guys. Have a good day.
And Jody DeVere wanted to thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Jody DeVere, president of Ask Patty, a Sarasota-based website providing advice for female auto consumers. And she joined us today from KNPR, our member station in Las Vegas. And let's get another call up for Marty Barletta, the CEO and founder of the Trend Site Group. And this is David. David's calling from Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you, David. Go ahead, please.
Well, my question is, if women are buying so many things, why are so many products designed to look so ugly? It seems like they're designed to cater to men.
Like what, do you think, David?
Well, for cars, for example, so many cars have this great big gaudy big grill in the front. They almost resemble some big dog, and it's not really necessary to design it like that.
Uh-huh.
A lot of stereo equipment. I couldn't buy a new stereo because they all have these huge, gaudy knobs. It's not necessary. They can all be switches, little push buttons, sleek design. So many things are designed to look like they're catered to men.
So, Marty Barletta, are designs going to change as manufacturers realize that where the purchasing power is?
Well, I think a couple things are going to change. I certainly hope that designs are going to change. I am a little surprised at how little there are entire industries of people who are in the design business in Detroit and in California and in auto companies all over the world. And yet, in my opinion, I share David's observation. I think that there are so much opportunity to do a much, much better job in design for automotive. What's interesting about automotive, speaking of differences between women and men, is that generally the automotive companies, when they ask about styling, one of the things they found out is that styling to men means what the car looks like on the outside, whereas styling to women, they tend to think more about what it looks like on the inside. So the finishes, the knobs, as David was talking about, the burl wood, the brushed chrome, the leather, or the seats, etc. And so I think there's a tremendous amount of upside for the manufacturer that figures out how to do that. And I know it's hard to make a car, but if Dell can make a computer overnight, I don't understand why you can't make a car and offer some options for color. Any color you want except for black. We're not that far advanced from Henry Ford's original design template. So I also think that the automotive, what cars women buy are going to change significantly, because as the baby boomers move into the sort of post-family age, I've got another book coming out in January called Primetime Women, which focuses on women who are 50 to 70 years old. And because baby boomer women are coming out of the prime time stage, I predict that we're going to see a move away from SUVs, which we have finally started to see acknowledged by the auto companies. Even though SUVs have been trailing off for over a year, they're finally starting to say, I wonder if that 10-year upward trend is still going to continue, which it's not. But what they are going to sell more of are luxury cars, sports cars, to Jody's point, women enjoy these cars, and I believe mini cars, like the literally Minis and the Volkswagen Beetles, the cute cars, as it were.
David, thanks very much for the call.
You have another example.
Go ahead.
One of the few cars that I find was very nice looking and elegant styles was the Oldsmobile, which is no longer made.
Right.
Thank you very much.
All right, David, thanks very much. Here's an email we got from Hazel in Illinois. Here's what happens when the woman doesn't get a chance to do research. We were shopping a few weeks ago, and my husband saw a great deal on TV, which we did need. I asked him if this was really the TV he wanted. He said yes. Well, when we got it home, he opened it up and discovered it is made for Canada and therefore does not comply with U.S. digital TV requirements. It is not returnable, and now we're stuck with it. Well, hope you're enjoying hockey night. Let's get another caller on the line. This is Jim. Jim's with us from Spencer, Iowa.
Oh, good afternoon. Yeah, I was going to make the point, but first would notion that there are about a flip-flop number of clothing stores for men to women in the last 25 years. Women's fine clothing stores outnumber men's about 5-1. It used to be just the opposite. But my comment was that maybe it's the marketing that is responsible for all the nitwit men we see on television ads these days.
What do you mean, Hemi? Yeah.
Oh, you name it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a possibility, Jim. I suspect that may be true. Thanks very much for the call. Let's go to Zach. Zach is with us from Jacksonville, Florida.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I actually work for a major electronics retailer. So I see a lot of buying decisions where couples are making, decisions possibly in the tens of thousands of dollars. And I very, very rarely have a decision made without without the woman's at least consent, if not the decision being completely hers.
Hmm. That's interesting. And has that changed over the time that you've been selling TVs?
I've been in it for about 3 years, and it's been like that even before the companies really started acknowledging it.
Uh-huh.
That was one of the things, you know, and some of the guys that kind of mentored me, they were like, yeah, nobody really realizes this, but, you know, it's, you know, 99 times out of 100, it's actually the woman who makes the decision. And a lot of times I've even noticed that lately being that the woman is more enthusiastic than the man about it.
Hmm.
And, you know, spending thousands of dollars on a TV and a surround sound system. So that was something, that's something that has changed. But I thought that was a really interesting trend. And usually it's the guy who's kind of standing off to the side and the woman who's, you know, asking all the questions about, you know, the picture quality and, you know, different things you can do with it. And I thought that was a really interesting change.
Hmm.
Zach, there's a couple of things that are interesting about that, because I think you really have a leg up on the competition by recognizing that. I heard a story one time about a young guy who went into selling yachts, believe it or not, large, very, very large purchase decision. And his uncle was a highly successful financial advisor, so salesperson of financial services. And the kid said to the uncle, he says, yeah, I come in, it's the men who want to buy these yachts. And the uncle said to him, you know, you really should be selling to the women. And the kid said, well, you know, why? It's the guys that want the yachts. And the uncle said, exactly. That's why you have to sell to the women.
Uh-huh.
You know? To Zach's point, it is usually the woman who has a lot of questions. Men often don't feel comfortable, as comfortable as women do, asking questions, because they kind of feel like, oh, I'm supposed to know all about this. And asking for information from somebody kind of makes many men uncomfortable, because it frames them as one down, i.e., by definition, I know less than the person that I'm asking, and that I'm just not comfortable with knowing less. Okay.
One thing that I've seen too that I noticed. Have you seen the Sony commercials? The world's first television for men and women.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's the first time I've ever seen that from a company.
Yeah.
Consumer electronics. Actually, I've been surprised. They already, only 3 years ago, consumer electronics didn't have much awareness that women were primary buyers in their category. Now, at the huge consumer electronics show, one of the awards is a marketing to women award.
We're talking about the purchasing power of women, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And here's an email from Kathleen. Please note that it isn't just purchasing power that women decide in many families. It's also where the donation money goes. There's nothing more frustrating to send a $100 or $200 check to a nonprofit to have the thank you or acknowledgement come back addressed to my husband. I made the decision, I signed the check, and there's no recognition of that.
That's absolutely true. And the funny thing is that a lot of the reason that that not-for-profits and for-profit businesses don't know that is a simple habit that businesses need to get out of, which is I was the one who was involved in the purchase of our new backyard fence. And the guy came in. I was the only one who talked to him. And he was writing up the contract. And he said, name, and I said, Marty Barletta. And he started writing in the middle of the line. And he left the beginning of the line open. And then he said, and what's your husband's name? And he was filling in my husband's name at the beginning of the line. And I said, now, why do you do that? And he said, oh, I don't know, just habit, I guess. And I said, well, that's a habit you want to break because it's really not going to be too good for your business. Well, you would think he had learned a lesson from that. But would you believe that about two weeks later, we got a thank you card in the mail? Now, kudos to the company for having the good sense to send a thank you for your purchase card. But it was addressed to my husband,
uh-huh.
to Kathleen's point. And I'm telling you, I made the purchase, and I would never buy from that company again. It offended me.
And finally, we just have a couple of minutes left, but here's an email from Kurt in Renton, Washington. I heard an auto industry person say that women will buy what is marketed to men, but men won't buy what is marketed to women, which may explain why the lovely shade of purple on my 96 Escort, which a gazillion women of all ages have told me is gorgeous, disappeared after a single year.
That probably does explain it, because that observation is in fact true. For some reason, it's related to the observation that I saw somebody at a meeting one time, and she said to one of the male co-hosts of the meeting, she said, Neil, no offense, but you think like a woman. And I thought, what about the no offense thing here? Why is it that things that, you know, are female very often are considered to be less than things that are male.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is changing, and it will change. But still, we have that factor. And that's why men don't buy girly stuff. Now, let me just add, women don't buy girly stuff either. If you paint the brand pink, that is the fastest way to drive women away from your item that you're selling.
Marty Barletta, thanks very much for your time today. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Marty Barletta is CEO of the consulting firm The Trend Site Group and author of the book Marketing to Women. She joined us today from the studios at Northwestern University in Evanston, Illinois. And when we come back from a short break, our monthly visit with the Motley Fool. If you have questions about investment trends, what's hot or cold, or even how to get started, give us a call. Our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. You can also send us an email, talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. This is the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.